stand up for a minute? And can you all just play that just for another minute? Because we said that we were titled in this revival, we said that this was going to be an experience with God. That we were going to experience God like we never experienced God before. But y'all, we can't experience God if somebody else doing all the singing and the praising for us. If you want to experience God like never before, if you want him to open up the heavens and pour down the blessings, you got to experience God for yourself. You got to just give God a hallelujah. Give him all the praise. Because he's worthy tonight, y'all. We got to praise God for who he is. Just because of who he is. Who is he? He's our creator. Our souls might be revived. We come with broken spirits. We come with brokenness in our heart, and we come with a whole lot of other packages. But we know that we come to a place where we can be revived. And that's what we're doing here this week. Last night, tonight, tomorrow night. But it just don't stop here. Amen. 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 Last night we was asking God, Lord, would you do it again? Do it again. Bring back the joy that we once had. Bring back that close relationship, that intimacy that we once had with God. Where God was into me and I was into him. We want an intimate relationship with God. So we were asking God to do it again. Amen. While you're standing, I'm just going to go ahead and give my scriptures. Got a couple for you tonight, like last night, and I'm going to cover them all. Luke 12:2. It says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. The last verse is Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. May the Lord add a blessing to his already blessed word. Lord, we come right now, God, just thanking you. Thanking you and giving you praise, God. Lord, we thank you and we just bless your name, God. Lord, we pray that each and every one of us today, God, Lord, that we came seeking and that you we will receive, God. Lord, we pray special anointing on our life, God. Lord, we pray that the words that are spoken today, God, that you have brought forth, God. Lord, I pray that we take those words, God, and we're able to move forward on this journey, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that I decrease and that you increase. These are blessings we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may. I want to talk tonight. Uncover to recover.
All right.
What we're trying to recover is our R to the third power. We're trying to recover a renewedness of our mind. We're trying to recover to be restored back into our right relationship with God. Yes. And we're trying to be revived. Uncover to recover. But talking about uncovering to recover, I'm going to be dealing with a couple words, but two main words. I'm going to be dealing with humility and with honesty. I talked last night and I was telling you that revival means to be brought back alive. It means that something is dead. Needs to be brought back, and that it means to cause to live again. And what we're asking God to do is to cause us to live again, because we cannot do it on our own. A revival is something that God initiates. He calls the revival and he does the reviving. But in a revival, we all do have a part that we have to play. And we cannot just come here and just pray and sing and think that we're just going to be revived on that singing and praying, because it takes more than that. It takes preparation for a revival. And that means work. And so when I say work, that means that there may be some things that I may say tonight, maybe like last night, that you may not agree with, that you may not even like. But we want to be revived on tonight. And so if that means you got to work through some of your attitudes, then that's what we have to do. We have to work through it. Now, when I'm looking at the word humility, humility is a virtue. And humility is something that should be praised. Most people don't seek it, because who wants to belittle themselves? Because in humility, we look at it as belittling ourselves. When we humble ourselves, we look at it, wow, I'm in a position where anybody could just take advantage of me. They could think, you know, I don't want to think little of myself. Biblically, humility means recognizing oneself as a sinner before a holy God. See, we don't always recognize ourselves as a sinner amongst each other. But when we come before a holy God, because God is holy, we recognize ourselves as a sinner.
All right.
And that's because we want a personal revival. And in order to be revived, we have to recognize that we are a sinner. Revival can not only begin in your life until you get honest with God. We don't want to be honest with ourselves. We're not going to be honest with each other. And we don't want to be honest with God. Do anyone tonight have something in your life or something in your heart that you considered a closed case? You know, sometimes we close some things out And we say, I'm going to close that out. This is a closed case. I'm not going to speak on this. I'm not going to talk about this. This is just going to stay where it is. And we usually close the door on it, and we don't think about that no more. We'll confess some things. But sometimes there's one particular thing in our life that we just won't confess. Now maybe it happened so long ago, or maybe it causes us so much pain to bring it forward. And sometimes some of those things that we won't confess, it may not even be anything that recently happened, but it may have been something that has been years and years and years in the making. But we won't come clean with that. We struggle. We struggle with that. I believe when God calls a revival, He's prompting us to deal with those areas. He's prompting us to be honest. To be honest with ourselves, because if we want to be healed, we have to be honest about what's going on with us. If honesty and humility is one for you tonight, then I'm going to ask you to just allow God to peel away the layers of pride, dishonesty, disobedience on tonight. And in preparation for a revival, I told you that we have to prepare ourselves for it. Now, in 2 Corinthians 7 and 14, God convicts His people of their sin, and He calls them to return to Him. Now, He set forth four conditions, and these are important, because you heard me talk about them last night, talking about them tonight and tomorrow night, because they're important. He set four conditions. The first condition He said is that you humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Admit your sin. Then He said, pray to God. And in praying to God, we're asking for forgiveness. Third, He said, seek God's face. And when we're seeking God's face, we're seeking God's will, and we're seeking God's plan for our life. And then He says an important one too, turn from your wicked ways. True repentance results in a change of behavior. See, we can't humble ourselves and pray to God and seek His face without turning from those evil ways. We want to go through step 1, 2, and 3, but we don't want to do step 4. Because we've been doing the things we've been doing so long till we're used to doing it, and we think that thing is the right thing. So we don't want to give up that right thing for a new thing. Remember, I said sometimes people don't want to change. Because change means work. Change means I have to do something different. Change means that I got to change from some of these evil ways and evil thinking patterns that I have, and that I have to turn and I have to start thinking differently. It means that I can no longer be negative, but I have to learn how to be positive. Some people are so used to being negative till that's all they know. And it's so much work to be positive when it's really not. But they've been negative so long till that's all they know. And they refuse to learn anything any different. We've got to humble ourselves first, because we cannot be lifted up in ourselves. Sometimes we lift our own selves up in ego and in pride, and we think that we're all that handsome. We make ourselves out to be so much, and it's an I thing. I. It's never we. I can't do everything. But some of us, we don't know we. We don't know our. All we know is I. Scripture says in Proverbs 8 and 13 that God hates pride and arrogance. And in Proverbs 11 and 2, it says, when pride is present, then is dishonor. And in Proverbs 16 and 18, he said, pride goes before destruction. So pride needs to be nowhere in our life, because when we look at pride, we see nothing that's honorable. We see nothing that God can do with this. Pride is the opposite of humility, and it's a roadblocker to a revival. Obadiah 1 and 3 says, pride will deceive you, So pride is false security. Look at the scripture. You can look at the scripture at home and you can read into it, but over in Obadiah it talks about it. And a lot of those scriptures that I gave you that's dealing with pride, we have many more. Pride is something that we have to be concerned about because it's one of the major things that we deal with. And then all of us, nobody wants to be prideful. Everybody say, oh, I'm not prideful. I don't have no conceit in me. Yes, we do. And daily we have to go before God and ask God to search us and to remove those things. Because see, pride may be that thing that you consider a closed case. That may be what you keep hitting in your heart. What we keep hitting is going to come to the light. As strong as God is repulsive about pride, God is drawn to humility. In Isaiah 57 and 15, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Meaning remorseful, the repentant. God dwells in the lowest spirit. God dwells in those that display humility and in honesty. You see, being humble exalts us. And then God dwells in us so that we're able to receive a revival from him. But in order to admit our sin, in order to be revived, we first have to realize how holy God is. And that's why we were praising God. Because, see, sometimes the reason we don't confess things, the reason we don't do any better than what we do, is because we don't recognize just how holy and just how great God is. But when we make comparison between ourselves and God, we'll see there is no comparison because the God we serve is a holy God. He's a just God. And when we look at ourselves, we're just mere dirt rag. We're nothing compared to God. And we have to see God in all his holiness to see just how sinful that we really are. We talked about honesty in Proverbs 28 and 13. It says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Transgressions, what is that? Well, transgressions are an act that goes against a law, a rule, or a code of conduct. It's an offense. It's a sin. It's wrong. It's wrongdoing. Mercy. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone in whom it is within one's power to punish or to harm. It's charity. It's treating people with kindness. And then lastly, to conceal. Conceal is to hide, to keep from sight, and to cover up. Then what is honesty? Honesty is the quality of being honest, of being upright, of having high principles, of fairness, truthfulness, a refusal to lie or to deceive in any way, not hiding the truth. What I want to say tonight is that we must be honest about our sin. Seeking God for a personal revival requires a level of honesty. And we have to be honest about what's going on with our life, about what sin it is that we're hiding. We have to stop trying to cover up our faults and our failures. But that's something we do automatically. Romans 8 and 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To speak about truth, it means that we have to empty ourselves out. It means that we have to get honest with what's going on with us. And we have to not cover up anything. Remember back in the garden with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, ever since Adam and Eve first disobeyed God, the tendency to cover our sins has been a part of our sinful nature. After partaking of the fruit that was forbidden in the garden, Adam and Eve lost their innocence, and they discovered their guilt and their nakedness. Immediately, they went into concealment mode, and they sewed together fig trees. I don't have no fig trees, but I just had this styrofoam, and I just had this on because I'm trying to cover up. Adam and Eve was trying to cover up. So they began to take some fig trees, and they took those leaves, and they sewed those leaves together. They were looking for a way that they could blend in with the landscape. Have you ever thought about how ridiculous that was? How are they going to blend in with the landscape? But they were hoping that they would be able to hide from God. Have you ever thought that you can hide from God? You know, I was just thinking, I said, well, how would they think that they can hide from God when God sees everything? He had been walking with them in the garden every day, and they know he's seen them, but now they were guilty, and so they tried to cover themselves up. And then God asked them a question, and he said, where are you? God knew exactly where Adam and Eve were. He had seen the whole thing. He knew what they had done. He knew that they were hiding. Church, we can't hide from God, because God knows everything about us. God knows all our inward parts. We don't have to be trained how to hide or to pretend, because you know what? It's just been coming naturally with us. Whenever something happens, we're always covering it up. Things can go on in our home with our kids, and we don't want nobody else to know. So we covering it up. Make mistakes on the job. You covering it up. Husbands, wives in the marriage. Adultery, fornication, covering it up. In the church. All the problems and all the chaos is going on in the church. Instead of dealing with it, we covering everything up. We covering it up. Like nobody's not going to see what it is. But what's done in the dark is going to come to the light. We have to stop trying to cover up stuff. And then now we call it for a revival, because we don't cover it up so much mess that we don't know how to uncover it. We don't got ourselves in a position that we feel so far away from God, and we want to get back, but we just don't cover it up so much for so long till we need God to come down and revive us. A revival is about uncovering. In order to recover, you've got to uncover. And all of us have some things that need to be uncovered. You wonder why we got so much hell going on in our homes? Because you got so much stuff, so much junk in your heart, till you can't even think right. Because see, what a person think is what's in their heart.
Yes, amen.
The heart is what it comes forth out of our mouth, and it comes forth out of our behavior. So we have all of these things on our mind that's keeping us from recovering. We want to still keep stuff covered up.
All right.
I'm not just talking, because I'm talking from experience. I know from experience. See, when you don't been there and you don't done that, you know it don't work. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, if you want to be revived, you got to uncover so that you can recover. You cannot keep covering stuff up and come to tell in your life. Well, you got to just take off the blanket. Take off the robe. The reason we don't want to take it off, because we don't want nobody to see what we look like, or some of us are downright ugly.
Come on,
Mama.
Come on, Mama.
And I mean David was a hand-picked leader of God. But David rejected God's law, and he committed the sin of adultery in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, as damaging as that was, that sin of David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, it brought about, because he was covering stuff up. I mean, he was trying to cover it up. But it did not just hurt or damage him. It damaged his whole household. When we're hiding things and when we're keeping things covered up, y'all, it's not just hurting you. And pastors, when things are going on in our churches, we got to uncover that. We got to stop covering up sin.
Thank you, Lord.
We got to stop it. How's the revival going to come if we keep covering everything up? Sin has to be addressed. That's what he was saying with David. David didn't address it. And look what happened. Look at the trickle down. Everybody in his household suffered because of the decision that he made. He chose to hide, to cover up, and to deny his wrongdoing. He lied to Bathsheba, the woman whom he committed adultery with. He lied to her husband. He lied to his warriors. He lived a lie before his people. A revival. Leaders, we cannot cover up sin. We cannot live a lie before the people. We cannot expect for the people to be revived when we walk in before them in a lie. David walked before the people in a lie. He lied to himself by acting as if what he had done really wasn't that bad at all. And y'all, you know, we have a habit of doing that. We say, oh, that's just a little thing. That's not much. Oh, what some was the white lie, little lies, big lies. They're all lies. No such thing as a little lie. No such thing as a big lie. A lie's a lie. No such thing as one sin greater than another sin. All of it is sin. Adultery is sin. Fornication is sin. Lying is sin. Dishonesty is sin. Gossip is sin. Disobedience is sin. Homosexuality is sin. All of it is sin. So if we're going to talk about uncovering something, we got to uncover everything. Because we cannot afford to keep anything covered. Above all, the point I want to make with David is that the biggest thing that he did is that he lied to God by attempting to cover his sin and refusing to acknowledge and confess it. We're not going to receive any blessings. We're not going to get the help that we want. We're not going to get the breakthrough that we're looking for. We're not going to get those things when we keep covering up. But think that we don't have to confess it. There's none of us that don't have to confess. We all have to confess before God. And in Psalms 32, David, he gave us, it was a firsthand account of the process that he went through to discover experiencing God. And in verse 1, he said, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones waxed through my groaning all day long. And when I got to that part and I got to reading, and he was talking about how his bones was waxing and how painful that was, I looked it up, and it was talking about during those times it was a dry spirit, a dry season, and in that season the heat was so hot and the wind would come and it would blow And it would cause, you know, it just be so painful to live with. You're feeling in your bones, you know, and it was just something that was hurtful. When we live with lies and when we try to cover up, when we're dishonest, our bones should wax. We should really be sorrowful for the condition and the state that we was in. He said, for day and night, God's hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. He said, listen, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. The key is there, just like it was in 7:14 of Christ. We have to confess our sins. Confession is a big area in being revived. I told you last night, when you're so full, when your mind and your heart is so full with all this sin, with all this stuff, there's no room for God to come in and do no work, because it's full. But when we confess it, our head is now empty. The Lord can come and he can do the work that needs to be done. And then David told us that he forgave him. This is what God wants to do, but he wants us to come to him in confession, because he's waiting to forgive us of our sin. I don't know about you, but I can almost feel David's joy, because when he was crying out before, he was crying out because he was in a bad state, because he was so far away from God. See, sin pushes us further and further away from God. We cannot have a closeness when we have the sin in our life. So we have to get rid of the sin. We have to uncover it. We have to let it go. We have to confess it. We got to get rid of it, y'all. We can't keep it in. We got to give that to God and let God take care of that. Because he can't move until we move. So if you don't move in confession and repentance, God can't move in restoration and renewal and restoring. There can't be no revival. Can't be a revival when we're so full of ourselves, when we're full of pride, and we're full of dishonesty. When David let go of his pride, and he humbled himself, and he got honest with God. And not only that, y'all, you got to get honest with each other. See, when we get honest with God, then we ought to be humble enough to get honest with each other. That's just like forgiveness. And we go to God and we ask for forgiveness when we've done things against somebody. It don't just stop there. But so many of us, we stop right there. We got to go to the person. We have to go to the person that we offended. See, if you're going to do something, do it right. Do it right or don't do it at all. Because if you don't complete it, then how are you going to recover? So David, he got honest with God and he got honest with others. And what happened? Heaven sent relief. And he poured relief all over him. The weight of his iniquity was lifted and his sins was carried away. David had to uncover in order to recover. David could live again. He experienced a renewed freedom, because when we sin keeps us trapped and sin keeps us in slavery. We're in bondage. You know, it's just like me walking around with one of those things stuck on you. You're not free to move. You're not free to go where you want to go. Because you got so much sin. Sin keeps us weighted down. So if we want to be free to move, we got to get rid of that. We got to stop holding on to it. How we going to get to your breakthrough? I mean, how long is it going to take you to get there? You keep carrying all this with you. You got to get tired of your back hurting from bending down from the weight of sin. And you only want to just stand up straight.
Say a word. Say a word.
Look like sometimes we get the line and doing so much, it put a curve in your back. Instead of going to a chiropractor, we better get out on that floor and go to God and let God work that stuff on out of us. Each of us here tonight, we can experience God like never before. God is, and He will revive us. He will restore us. He will renew us. He's willing and He's waiting on us to uncover so that He can recover. And what we have to do, we have to uncover every sin. And what it is, even the things that we're going through right now. Some of us are sitting here right now and we weighed it down. We weighed it down with some things that we've been carrying for a while. We come and we say, I'm going to go to this revival. I'm going to get revived. You're going to get revived only when you come clean. You got to come clean with what's going on with you in your life. Just hearing the word and not being a doer of the word, it's not going to do anything for you. And then you can't be a doer in pretense.
Come on.
You have to be sincere. And you have to be honest and forthright in what you're doing and what you're saying. When we ask God for forgiveness and we confess that thing, we have to be sorrowful for it. We're so sorry that we did it. And we should not. We should not do those same things again. Some of us can't even do a different sin. We do the same sin over and over and over again. Just look like sometimes you do something different. We ought to learn. We ought to learn. If something keeps knocking you on your feet, knocking you off your feet, you have to get tired of getting up in the same spot. It's knocking you back down again. You get back up, you get knocked out again. If I'm gonna fall, let me fall for something different. When we talk about sin, we remember that no sin is too large and no sin is too great. Because sin is sin with God. And God will forgive all sin. There's nothing that we can afford to keep in our hearts or harbor in our minds. We have to get that stuff up off of us. We have to be honest with ourselves. And we have to be honest with God. Because there's an enemy out here. And that enemy is strong. But God's power is stronger. But I just don't want you to be fooled to think that He's something that you can just play with. That you don't have to pray and get your strength from God. So that you can come up against Him. Because the enemy is sitting and He's out there and He's waiting. And when we go out there and you're not fully clothed, you're going out there in the physical, He's going to take you over. We're going to fight in the physical and we're going to lose every time. Experiencing God means I'm learning how to use what God has given me. I'm learning how to dress the way God would have me to dress each and every day I get up. And I'm not talking about these physical clothes. I'm talking about how He said for us to dress spiritually, about our helmet, about our shield. We have to put on the clothes that are going to protect us because there's a spiritual war out here. And we cannot fight it in the physical. We can only do it in the spiritual. We got to ask God to show us the areas of our lives that we're walking in that it's not walking with Him. Sometimes you think you're walking with God and you're not. You don't read something. You don't pray a little bit. You don't confess a little bit. So now you're ready to get up and you're ready to tell somebody else what to do and how to do it. But we've got to make sure when we open our mouths that we're walking with God totally and we're walking with God fully and that we walk with God 24/7. See, we can't just walk with God on Sunday. We got to walk with God 7 days. The enemy is taking over and he's winning a lot of these battles against us because we're not prepared for it. We think we can only come to church on Sunday and hear a word on Sunday and that's just going to be enough to carry you all through the week. That's not enough, y'all. That's not enough. We got to do more than come to church on Sunday and hear a preach word. We got to get up and come out during the week. Go to Bible study. We got to come out and we got to go to prayer meet. And we got to pray. We got to come together with the saints and intercede on behalf of one another. Every every day you have to be in your word.
Yes.
And you don't need no preacher to tell you to study your word. Because you're going to look for a preacher at a time that you think you really need one, and you're not going to be able to get him or her. You got to know that word for yourself. When that enemy comes up against you, you got to know God's word. You got to know how to get him off of you. Because I'm telling you, sometime late in the midnight hour, that enemy can come up on you strong, start working in your mind, working in your heart, and then next thing you know, when you get up in the morning, you got all kind of stuff in your heart. You got all kind of stuff on your mind. We start our day off the wrong way because we didn't know how to tell the devil to get behind me. We didn't know how to say, Satan, get behind me. Yo, you got to know how to recognize the voice of God, because God is not the only one that speaks to us. The enemy speaks to us too. You got to know who you listening to. You got to know who you talking to. You got to know the God you serve and how great he is. The reason the enemy is winning against us today is because we don't know the power that we have. We don't know all that God has ordained us. We don't know what God has given us because we won't read our word. We won't come out and be taught. God has given us power and authority. And we've got to take authority and take power. You want to experience God in a way like you've never experienced him before. Start by uncovering. Uncovering all that has been keeping you in bondage. Ask yourself some truth. You know, be honest. Be honest with God. When you pray, are you praying to God in sincerity? Are you praying just to impress God? Do you serve God out of a heart of genuine love or devotion? Or do you just serve him? Do you see your sin as something that you got to deal with? Or do you keep telling yourself it can wait? That is nothing. I can keep this head up. I don't have to deal with this. I can deal with this another time. That's how molehills become mountains. They don't have to be a mountain. Because we can address sin as it confronts its ugly face. We can address it. And we can deal with it. We can confess it. And we can keep moving. And there are areas in your life where you don't practice what you teach. Because some of us are in a position where we're an influence or we make an impact on people. Are we practicing what we're preaching? Even as parents in our home, we tell our kids to do one thing and they see us do another thing. We go to work and we tell those that are new on the job or up under us how to take shortcuts. But yet we, hallelujah, praise the Lord. In the church, we getting up and we preaching and we teaching. We got to make sure our lives are lining up with the word of God. Revival begins from the top on down. It don't leave the top out. The top is right there in it. Because the leader is out of order, the whole church is going to be out of order. The leader got to be in order in order for the church to come up under submission. Are we covering up areas of our past? And I'm just asking this, you all, because I just want you to think about this. And if you are, just uncover it. We cover up areas of pain and hurt in our past. And it's still in us. We have not let it go. We have to begin to let it go. We have to stop covering up. All it does is add more weight. All it does is keep us sick. God wants us to be healthy. But in order to be healthy, we got to get all of that stuff off of us. We got to confess it. I don't care what happened to you in your past. The past is the past. We can get beyond that.
That's it.
The enemy will have you to stay in the past because he knows what that does to you. He knows it keeps you bound. And he knows as long as he can keep you in the past, he's blocking you from any and all things that God has for you. Why? Because you can't get past it. What are we going to learn to get past that? We say we've been praying and asking God for something and it's just like God not hearing. What is it about yourself that you need to look at? What is it about your heart? What is it that you're thinking? Where are you walking? What are you doing? Whose life are you impacting? Is it about you or is it about God? Is what you asking God for, is that God's will? Or is it your will? Are we guilty of speaking ill? And y'all, you know right now we do that here in the church. I'm just being real. Amen. We speak ill of each other. We gossip. We backbite. Then we sit here and put a fake smile on our face. And we think we're doing something. We got to uncover. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of just coming to church and it just being church? Don't you want to come out to service for worship? To worship God? Don't you want to come out for a better relationship with God? I don't know about you, but I love God. And I love the people of God. I'm tired of playing church. I've been tired of playing church. I just don't play church no more. And when I come to you and give you the word, I'm sorry if I'm a little harsh with it. But I want to let you know that God loves you. And I want to let you know, yes, God has all things for us. But y'all, we just can't expect God to keep giving and giving and giving, and we just taking and taking and taking, and we're never giving. The God we serve is a giving God. We got to be a giving people. We got to come here together and love one another. If somebody is sick, pray for them. Pray with them. People having problems in their marriages. And we want to float that all around the church. Next time somebody want to come to you with some gossip, you ought to give them that eye. I mean, I get so tired of people wanting to come and give us all kind of gossip. Why can't you just give somebody the truth? Why can't we give them Jesus? If they having a problem, why can't we put our arms around them? We got some married couples that's been married and those been through a storm. And you can go to that couple and you can put your arms around them. God created marriage. And he didn't create marriage for divorce. All right. Marriage was created to death through us. Why? That's it. Right. When there's issues, I'm going to tell you, I learned. I learned. I had to go through one, but I learned. I know. I know about it now. I know. See, a marriage is like your relationship with God. I love God. To death do we part. He hasn't blessed me with a husband, but he is my husband. And we gotta love him with everything that's in us. We can't pick and choose what we gonna take to God. We have to take everything to God. We gotta love God when we up, and we gotta love God when we down. We gotta love God when our pantries are full and when our pantries are empty, because we know that God He is able. He said if we would seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things, he said, will be added. Now, he didn't say what things. He said all these other things. So I'm just taking that to mean that if I seek God first and what he has for me, and if I'm walking in his plan, then whatever that desire is, not just my walk, not just my need, but I'm looking for God to do something. How many of you tonight are looking for God to do me with all your heart. He said, let your hearts be revived. So if we're seeking God, then he says, let our hearts be revived. The children of Israel asked a question, and that's what we were surrounding this around this week. He said, will thou revive us again? They had done been through the storm. They were dead in it. They was hitting on every side. Didn't know who the friend was because everybody was coming up against them. They didn't have nobody they thought that they could trust in. But you know what? You get tired of being down. You get tired of being in pain. You get tired of being disappointed. And then they decide to ask God, Lord, will you revive us again? Not for us, but that they might worship him. Now, when we can get to that point, we're ready. We'll be ready for a revival. I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet. Everybody just stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. The way that we open up the door is through our praise and our worship. We got to do something different if we want something different. We got to stop doing things the same old way, y'all. Because if we continue to do it the same way, we're going to get the same thing. I'm not asking, I'm telling you tonight. Uncover. Uncover all that garbage that you've been covering up in your mind. All those thoughts that you have against somebody. All that unforgiveness that you have in your heart. I'm asking you tonight to uncover it. Uncover it. We got to expose it. We got to deal with it. You don't have to tell me. That's between you and God. But I'm just asking right now as you stand. Right now as you stand, just ask God. Ask God to show you those areas. Those areas that need uncovering in your life. Sometimes they've been there so long till we don't even realize how deep embedded they are. I told you last night, in order for the Lord to plant a seed, the ground has to be fixed. It has to be broken, because during the course of our life, y'all, we've had so many experiences. We've had so much that has gone on. And it's just been piled in, till it's covering up the real you. The love in you is there. Forgiveness is there. Obedience is there. Submission is there. But what we have to do, we've got to ask God to just till the ground. Just turn it over. Turn it over. Get tired of looking in the mirror and seeing the same thing. If you want to be revived on tonight, you can be. But the only way we're going to be revived is that we first deal with our sin. That we stop covering up. That was the problem with Adam and Eve, y'all. We need to leave that part behind us. Stop making cover up and pretense a part of our life. And we just start being real. Real with God. Tonight, I'm asking, if you want to come up front, if you want to ask God for something specific for him to reveal in your life, for him to uncover, I'm asking that you do it. Don't step up here if you don't believe it. See, we can't ask God to do something in our life that we don't believe that God can do. So if you have an area in your life, and regardless to what it is, and you need God to work it out, then let's touch and agree on tonight. Is there anyone that needs special prayer? Anybody that want to be revived, want to be restored, want to be renewed? Believe that God can do it. They come up front. Not my problem that you walk away from here tonight the same way you came in. Because you don't have to.